It's good to hear from time to time how the Lord is working in people's lives, and sometimes you wonder as a pastor when you're preaching whether people are hearing blah 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 blah, and they go home and go about their week and come back for another week and hear blah 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 blah. And you're like, okay, maybe you've entertained them, maybe you've done something, but it's so good to know when there is some real fruit there as people have taken words that are intended to help us in our walk with Christ, and indeed it's showing in some very fruitful ways. So thank you for sharing that this morning, Julie. We're on reason number 7. I could probably find a bunch more to continue on. I don't know, I might end it after this one, but we'll see. But I just wanted to quickly go through the first 6 that we've been through. The first one was deception. And remember, I told you sometimes we're deceived into thinking it's only the pros that should be sharing Christ because I don't know much. That's a deception. A second one was fear. Third one was apathy. The fourth one was no vision. The fifth one was forgetting what Christ has done in your life. The next one is, I don't know how many I've been through so far, lack of prayer was last week, and then this week is, how do I do it? How many of you ever had an instruction manual to put something together, whether it's a toy for the kids or whatever? I grabbed one this morning, and I was looking through it. Actually, one of these machines we have, this is an advertisement, by the way, too. It's our little paging system for the nursery downstairs. And if you ever volunteer to be in the nursery, you can give one of these little discs to the parents. And if their child is maybe needs something that you can't provide for them, you can page the parent and they can come downstairs and deal with their child. Anyway, when we first got this, I had to figure out how it worked. And so I went through and blah, 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 blah. All these instructions. I'm just going to try to figure it out. It's really actually pretty simple. But what I find out kind of funny is how to turn off everything. Unplug it. But it says there's other ways you can turn it off as well, and I look at that. But, you know, the other thing is your owner's manual for your car. I didn't realize until 3 years after we bought our pickup of one of the features that's actually on the door. You press this little button, if you've got the key on you, and it unlocks the door, the truck. For 3 years, I've been using the handle, never pressing the button, and I always have to, you know, click the thing to unlock the truck and get in. But all of a sudden, by accident, I press this button and it unlocks. 3 years after I bought the truck, because I didn't read the owner's manual to figure out how some things work. I know there's still some things in that vehicle. I don't know how it works. How many of you are in the same boat with your vehicles? I don't know how half of those things work. I just do the things that I know I need to have when I'm doing what I'm doing. If I need heat, I know where to get heat. If I need cooling, I know where to get cooling and all that sort of stuff. But I learned something new just a few weeks ago about my truck 3 years later. How do we evangelize? That's a question, perhaps, and that's maybe one of the reasons why we don't, is because I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. Is there an instruction manual for that? Well, in a way, there is. It's the Word of God. But in a way, there isn't. Just be you. If you know what God's Word says, even if it's a little bit about what God's Word says, but you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're equipped enough to start. But I wanted to do this morning. I wanted to look at some characters in the Bible and perhaps learning from them some ideas you and I can take when it comes to how do I do it? How do I do it? And I'm going to start with one, Paul. Paul himself in the book of Acts. Actually, I'm going to have Roger put these up here so that if you want to deal with these texts later, maybe you want to write them down, or you want to read them as I'm going through a little bit about what's going on, you may go ahead. But here in the book of Acts is Paul. Now, Paul, he's been a Christian for a while now, but he deals with different kind of people. And right now, he's dealing with the people that are pretty religious, but they're not Christian. He's dealing with these people of Athens who are, they're philosophers, they're learned people, they're kind of religious. In fact, they even have this monument there that has a saying on it, says, to an unknown God. And Paul, as he's addressing them, and he's been talking to them about Jesus as they gather in their palatial places to learn more about stuff. And Paul is sharing these things with them. And I'm sure they're wondering and questioning Paul. But Paul addresses them with something. And here I want to give just maybe one answer. How do you evangelize someone who already seems to be religious? They think they know something, even if they may not know the one that you know, Jesus Christ. Or someone who claims to know life, but they don't think they know if there is a God. Here's what Paul did. He started with common ground. He started with common ground. They had this monument out there, this thing out there with this inscription that said to an unknown God. He started with common ground. He said, I see that. I see that. And you claim that this God that you know is, but you can't really know him. Kind of an agnostic kind of approach. A God who is, but you can't really know this God. He says, guess what? This one you say isn't known. I'm going to talk to you about him because I know him. I know him. So he started with common ground. You start out perhaps with personal experience. Start out with what you do know and start there. And here's Paul starting with them, sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And he starts with something that's common between the two. And I encourage you, you know, oftentimes the inroad for someone is when you see that there's something that you share together. You start there. And from there you can move. What did you have together? Two people who were concerned about gas prices. Doesn't sound like a religious conversation to me, does it? You know? That's real spiritual. But it kind of weaved its way into something else because you started with common ground and concern. And once you start with concern, this person shared with you another concern that wasn't gas prices. You see how that happens? And if you and I are willing to share from our own personal experience, and we don't know everything, I certainly don't know everything, but I know what God has done for me, that much I do know. Start with common ground. That's what Paul was doing with this group of people that could have been a tough group of people to deal with. He started with common ground. And then he shared what he did know. I'm going to go to another one here real quick because I know we don't have a ton of time. And I know there's food out there afterwards. I know some of you are already thinking about food. Keep that off your mind for now because we're dealing with spiritual food right now. How about Mark chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, where we're dealing with a demon-possessed man. Here's this man in verse 18 and 19. After this demon-possessed man had already been healed by Jesus. And here's what it says in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Here's something that can perhaps help us when we're wanting to know, how can I evangelize? For one, here is the guy who, if you want to look at histories of people, is one bad dude, right? Demon possessed. Probably done some awful things, and he was one nutso kind of guy, and here he is, healed of all this, and he wants to go where Jesus is going. He says, no, go back and share with others what just happened to you. What he did for me is the story he can do for anyone else. Share with people that God is merciful. I know there's some people in this world that think God's up there with a sledgehammer like a whack-a-mole. You did something wrong. You did something wrong. You did something wrong. And it pops up everywhere else. He keeps knocking people all over the head. And they think of God as this kind of a whack-a-mole God that is you need to be afraid of, you need to be scared of, and God wants us all to be good people, and he's not going to do anything with us until we get our stuff together, until we get our ducks in a row. That's not God. We need to share with people that God is merciful. God doesn't care what you already did. He cares about what's going on right now and what can happen in the future with your life and mine. And this demon-possessed man, who is now healed of his demon-possessed, he says, go and tell everybody else what I did for you and tell them that I'm merciful. Because they need to hear it. Because they got the wrong message out there somewhere. And there are some people living in this world today that have that message I just told you about, the whack-a-mole God. You know, that'd make a good sermon title sometime, wouldn't it? The whack-a-mole God. He's not a whack-a-mole God. That's the way we sometimes picture him. So, helpful for you and I when we evangelize. Share that God is merciful. Share what God has done for you and for me. There's no shame in telling someone where I came from and where I am now. And I'm grateful to God for that. I want to go to another text. I've got five total for you here. I'm going to go to John chapter 9. That's the next one up there, Roger. If you go to John chapter 9, and I want to read about the man born blind. I love this text. This man who was born blind, and he was healed, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders are just having a heyday with this, because for one, you shouldn't be healing this dude on the Sabbath, and all these weird things are happening, and they're saying, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? And the guy doesn't know anything except what? All I know is I was blind and now I have sight. And this man who did it is an awesome person. He did it. Jesus did it. Even the parents are like, well, talk to him. I don't know what's going on. All I know is he was born blind. Yes, he was. But he was healed. He was healed. You know, sometimes we just need to address the skeptics with the truth. My life has changed. You know, if people see that your life has changed, it means something. Especially those people who maybe knew you before. Now they know you now. Something different about that person before and that person now. My life has changed. And this man born blind says, I can see now and I couldn't see before. Explain that one away. Which is what they're trying to do. My life has changed. Folks, if your life has changed, you've got something to share. And when people question you with all these philosophical statements and try to come up with some whatever, all you need to say is, all I know is before I was that person. And now I'm this person. God's done something. In a sense, I was blind before, but now I see. I see what He's done in my life. Tell others that your life has changed. No, it's not perfect. And that's the other misnomer that people have. Oh, if you're truly a Christian, then you wouldn't have just done that. No, I'm a Christian, and I did something I shouldn't. But God's going to forgive me, and I'll try not to do it again. You see? That's true. That's true. My life has changed. Another thing that can help you with how to evangelize is let people know, this is what He did to me, for me, in me, through me. 2 Corinthians, another one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to these verses. I think it pretty clearly states something. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. What's it say? I've been in trouble. I may even presently be in trouble. But God is bringing me comfort. Folks, whether it's something you're going through right now or something that you've already been through, you can share with others that in my times of trouble, God brought me comfort. And if God brought me comfort, He's telling us in these two verses, then tell others that God brought you comfort, because He can bring comfort to them as well. You ever been troubled in your life? Yeah. I imagine most, if not all of you, have been troubled at some point. When you look back, hindsight's really good, isn't it? When you look back, you can see that God has brought you through it. When you look back, you can see that God did bring comfort. That's not so easy to recognize when you're in it. When you're in it, you may not recognize it yet. But may I encourage you with these words that He will. He will. He will. And then when He does, let others know He will. Because that's who God is. Tell others how to evangelize. Tell others of the comfort that God has given you, or is giving you, or will give you. One more. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 in 2 Peter. A few verses there towards the end of God's Word, those little tiny letters right near the end. 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 21. Let me read real quickly for you. We didn't follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to His majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is My Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him and on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars rises in your hearts." And it goes on, continues after that. What I want to say to that is this. Well, you might say, I'm not an eyewitness. I mean, Jesus was here over 2,000 years ago and did these marvelous things 2,000 years ago, but I dare say that you and I are eyewitnesses to what He is doing in our lives and other people's lives today. We are eyewitnesses to the fact that there are some miraculous things that do happen, that God works in some powerful ways. I've seen it with my eyes. I've sensed it in my heart. God's Spirit has made manifest in some very powerful ways over time. And so we are eyewitnesses to God's transforming grace. Let others know what we have seen, that we have seen God's handiwork. That we have seen Christ in others, or others have seen Christ in us. And I know that God's Spirit lives in me, and I know God's Spirit lives in you, and tell others I know, because I am an eyewitness to that, because that is what happened to me. And so when we evangelize, we can evangelize as those who have witnessed God's work in us, and perhaps witness God's work in others. So, as we close, how do you evangelize? How do I evangelize? I've given you some ideas this morning. Share common ground. Share personal experience. Let people know that He is merciful, especially if you think your life has been a mess. That He is merciful. And what He did for you, He can do for anyone else. Time and time again, I've had people come to me and say, "Can God forgive me for what I've done?" I said, "Absolutely. Just show a couple examples in Scripture and that should do the trick. Paul wanted to kill all the Christians." Hello. If he can save Paul, I think he can save some people who have done some pretty crappy things in their life. Right? And what about the thief on the cross? If he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Hello. Okay, those two are good enough for me. Are they good enough for you? And I've literally shared that with people who said, "I ain't good enough." I said, "Well, neither were they, and neither am I." But he is. And because he's good enough, he fills the gap between me and him and his perfection. Tell others of the comfort that he's given you. Let others know of God's handiwork in your life so you can do those kinds of things. Where's the kind of common ground when you start something? It could be at a gas station filling your car up with gas. It could be baking a cherry pie for someone and going over and saying, I just wanted to say hi. How are you doing? It could be people just seeing your life ooze with Jesus. Seeing your life just ooze with love and mercy and that sort of thing, and they are compelled to ask. I could go on and I'm going to. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to what people are saying, and it might give you an in. Here's an idea. You're at a ball game, at a football game. If we score a touchdown, I'll be in church on Sunday. Listen to that. They scored a touchdown. I'll pick you up. You know what I'm saying? As we close this morning, I just want to say this. You know, when you have an opportunity to share with people, and some of that sharing might be that you give them an opportunity. Look, the church doesn't have all the answers, but I think what people can find in the Church of Jesus Christ is they can find that God can help, that God can teach, that the body of believers, as imperfect as we all are, we have something for them, and they certainly have something to offer us as well. Invite them to the church where they can learn more, where they can grow, where they can be a part of a body that hopefully shows that they care. Do that, especially if the subject came up, like I just mentioned. Be deliberate. And one last thing. Pray that God would give you opportunities. Because when you pray that God would give you opportunities, I think it's then we're ready when they come. Right? Pray that God would give you opportunities and they'll come. To God be the glory, let's pray. God, thank you for being patient with us. We're stubborn. We're oftentimes selfish. Too many times in our lives we're thinking about us and that next thing we've got to do instead of thinking about those around us where there might be opportunities. God, I pray, in the world we live in today where there's so much that's going on that shows us there really is a battle between good and evil, God, help us as believers in Jesus Christ to have our spiritual antenna up and to realize there are so many hurting, questioning people out there that don't know where the answer is. And I believe we do. The answer is in you. Not in us. The answer is in you. Lead us in that direction. Help us to do so with humility, mercy, and grace, because that's what's been shown to us. And no, we don't know all the answers, but I know enough to know that you're the answer for me. And I believe your word. So we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.